presented.
Yeah. I think tonight we'll, instead of starting our whole program for Wednesday nights, which we still have to negotiate, I thought we would take a particular aspect of Parshas Vayeschanan, a particular mitzvah, a very bombastic and life and death kind of mitzvah in this case, and analyze it. And it'll be a combination of Parshas Vayeschanan in this case, the mitzvah V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol nafshecha, and the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem on a halachic basis. Now, it's very interesting that, and that's something we know very well from the sugya in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalid, that for three averos, we're not allowed to apply the principle of Chai B'Hem and live by them, but if need be, we have to give up our lives. One of those three, which is the one that we're going to focus on tonight, is Lo Sirtach. So if a person puts a gun to my head and says, kill him or I'll kill you, I have to submit myself to die. That same principle would apply for the other two cardinal sins, which would be Gilui Arayos and Avodah Zarah. But in the case of Lo Sirtach, we're going to have a very unique application or question of Kiddush Hashem. Now, as a matter of background, let's, on the one hand, we keep in mind that in our parasha it says b'chol nafshecha, and Chazal say afilu hu notel es nafshecha. But on the other hand, let's turn the clock back to Parshas Noach. Because in Parshas Noach, there's another form, if you will, of Lo Sirtach. And that is the pasuk in Bereishis Tes, V'ach es dimchem l'nafshosechem edrosh. Which literally means that I will demand the blood of someone who spills blood. Now, why would the Torah need to add this if we already have Lo Sirtach? I mean, again, we don't have it yet, but we're going to have it. And if you look at Rashi, I think he addresses this question. And he says, Hashofech Dam Atzmo. You know, man has a tendency of thinking that he owns his own body and his own life, but the halacha doesn't view it that way. Our lives, each and every one of us, our dam, our nefesh belongs to Hashem. We can't just simply damage ourselves, injure ourselves. We have to be very careful about our nefesh. What do you say?
Try.
Yeah, again, if somebody else is at fault, then...
You mean the goof or the nefesh?
I mean both. I mean the goof in the sense that you're not allowed to in any way mutilate yourself. I mean, it's the whole issue about sports, you know, where you expose yourself to physical danger. There are certain sports which are so dangerous that it's almost vadai that you'll come out injured. Again, hopefully you'll be standing on 2 feet, or if not, at least you'll be alive, but you don't have control, you don't have ownership over your own body, and certainly how much more so not over your own nefesh. Because the Torah says, v'chai b'hem v'lo shiyomus b'hem. And this raises the question of suicide, Rahman al-Islam, because in that case, is he a murderer or not? And as we'll soon see, again, I don't want to give you all the makoros up front, because I want to go through them inside. This parsha in Noach is going to be the source for the Easter of suicide. And what we're going to have to ask ourselves is this parsha just what we call a Gili Milsa? It's just revealing to us that suicide now fits into Lo Sirtach. Or no, it's a separate, independent parsha, and killing oneself is not a violation of Lo Sirtach. That's what we don't know. If you take a look for a second at the Sifsei Chachamim, he says, "De'i mishofech dam acher hakfar nesar," because it says, "Umiyad ha'adam." Meaning that if this was talking about a classical murder situation, that's already indicated in the second half of the pasuk, Umiyad ha'adam. And therefore Rashi asked himself the question, so what's the beginning part of the pasuk? what is that about? And Rashi says that that's the subject of that is a case of someone who takes his own life. And l'nafsho seichem, Rashi says, af hachonek atzma afal pishalo yotza mimenu dam. Rashi tells us that there are two parts to this pasuk. There's dimchem and there's nafsho seichem. There's a way of taking one's life without actually spilling any blood by choking oneself. And this is unfortunately has become a very popular method of self-destruction. And Rashi says that too is included in this pasuk.
Is suicide the only example we have for damaging the nefesh, damaging our own nefesh?
No. Any sort of mutilation. If you inflict any injury upon yourself, you violate an iser of chovel v'atzmo, which comes under Pen Yosef, as we discussed in the past. But now we're talking about something much more far-reaching.
Is this where tattoos are?
With speak and drop ladder?
Are tattoos from this iser or tattoos?
No. Tattoos comes under separate isur because one could ostensibly argue that that's not self-mutilization. I'm not mutilizing myself because I'm enhancing the way I look. Again, alright. Now the Rambam codifies the case of the iser horegis atzmo at the beginning of the second parak of Hilchos Rotzeach. The second parak of Hilchos Rotzeach can be, shall we say, described or defined as grama or gram ritzicha. Meaning there's direct ritzicha where you actually kill someone, and then there's indirect ritzicha. One of the classical cases the Rambam has is tying someone up in front of a lion or in our context in front of a train and he's going to die. And the Rambam is interested in expanding the definition of lo sirtach to include even cases where you're not technically a rotzeach, meaning we couldn't put you to death under the law of rotzeach, but nevertheless, as far as the lav and the isur of ritzich is concerned, you are a rotzeach. So for example, in Halacha Beis, he has the case of hasocher horeg larugis chavero. This is what we call mafioso style. So you pay someone to knock someone off. He has a case where he sends his eved to kill someone. He's got the case where he ties him down in front of a lion or in front of another animal. And I'm just going to skip four words for a second. And then he says about all those above, kol echad me'elu shofech damim hu, v'avon hariga biyado, v'chayev miso lashamayim, v'ein bahem misas bez.
There's no...
What word does the Rambam omit? This is the big chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch. The Rambam wants to tell you how strict and how severe this case is. I mean, obviously, there's only a hair's breadth difference between this and direct murder. I mean, Lamaisa, he tied him up and the guy died. You know, he had no possibility of getting loose. Or you hired the right people to kill him. You are the cause of his death. And the Rambam wants to be very harsh about this. In fact, the Rambam says, Chayav Misa, but he adds one word, Lashamayim, V'ein Bahem Misa is Bezdin. In other words, technically, this is not a direct act of Ritzicha. And therefore, you're exempt from Misa's Bezdin. The Bezdin can't put you to death. But in effect, the Rambam is saying that you're Chayav Misa, just Lashamayim. As if to say that the Bezdin Shel Shamayim has a different system of or definition of what constitutes a capital crime, and as far as the heavenly courts are concerned, you're guilty of violating a capital crime. You should really be condemned to death. Yochayv misal hashamayim. How the heavenly court is going to mete out that punishment, I don't know. You know when and how they're going to put someone to death, I don't know. But the Rambam is saying that technically he somehow circumvented the Chiv Misas Bezdin because he didn't do it directly. But Avon Hariga Biyada. And the question that I want to ask you is, what word perhaps, or what phrase did the Rambam omit here? Notice he went far, but he didn't go far enough perhaps. He could have gone one step further. This is the diuk of the Minchas Chinuch. What word could he have used that he doesn't use?
He didn't call him for that.
Excellent. You, Aro, were just machaving to the Minchaschim. So you should give yourself a pat on the back. Again, it's only because I pressed you.
Yeah.
But so that's what they say to do. Reb Chaim once asked his father, Reb Chaim Brisker, what's the big deal with Reb Kivega? I always ask Reb Kivega's kasha. He says, because you have the circle. You know, Reb Kivega puts the circle there and he tells you where to ask the kasha. But seriously, why doesn't the Rambam call him a rotzeach? The Rambam speaks about the Avera. The Rambam speaks about the moral and ethical, you know, severity of what he did, his crime. He's avon ariga biyado. But the Rambam falls, he stops a little bit short, and he doesn't call him a rotzeach.
Because that's our worldly definition.
Could be. That's one way of learning it. The Minchas Chinuch is going to see worlds here, and the fact that the Rambam doesn't call him a rotzeach. Now, I skip four words. So let's go back to the four words that I skipped. V'chein ha-horeges atzmo. The Rambam says that a suicide case is a shofech damu. He's avon hariga biyado. He's chayev misa up in shamayim. Of course, there's not even a havami that we could put him to death in our court because he's already what? He's already dead. You know what I'm saying? You can't revive him in order to put him to death. In fact, if he survived, let's say he attempted to kill himself, but he didn't succeed.
Yeah.
So in that case, he's not chayav misa anyway, because if a person attempts murder, then if he doesn't succeed, he's not chayav misa for that.
What if they actually bring him back to life?
I don't know. The Rambam doesn't discuss those cases. That's belongs to more or less the fairy tale.
No, like with the shocker, with the. Like, what if they...
Well, if they can bring him back to life, then he never died. Okay, that's the premise. All right. Now, take a look at the Minchas Chinuch, which is on the bottom of your page 1. No, I'm sorry.
2?
It's on the bottom of your page 2. So, one second. I actually don't have a copy of page 1. That's why I've been sort of fast-forwarding over here. There should be an extra one. Yeah, okay. Okay. Does anyone need a copy of page 2? No. Okay. I have a copy. But if you look at the bottom of page 2, the Minchas Chinuch says the following. He says, Hine, ma'abed atzmo ladas, eino bichlal lav de lo sirtza. He is not included in the violation of the law of lo sirtza. He's called a shofet domim, and he deserves death in shamayim, as the Rambam says. But the Rambam falls short of calling him a rotzeach. He didn't violate lav the rotzeach. And in fact, then, if you were to ask the Minchas Chinuch, well, what's the source in the Torah for this criminal act of suicide if it's not included under lo sirtzach? And what's the answer? On the top of page 2 that we just saw?
This is the other report for it? But this is another source?
Right, that the source for the terrible, repulsive act of suicide is v'achas dimchem l'nafshot seichem edrosh. If you remember, Rashi says that's called shofech dam atzmo. So he definitely is considered a shofech damim, but he's not in violation of lo sirtzach. Now you might ask me, who cares? What nafkamina is it? The guy is already dead. Call him lo sirtzach, call him aches dimchem edrosh. So there are two nafkaminas. The first nafkamina is im shiber kelim b'shas maisa. While he was committing suicide, he destroyed someone else's property. Does anybody know what principle we discussed this in great length in Masechet Bakis kicks in? When, what do you say? No, what is it that exempts me from paying if at that same moment that I incurred that compensation, I also am chayev misa? That's called kimle v'derabine. Now the question is, does kimle v'derabine apply in the case of horeg es atzma? And the Minchas Chinuch says the following. If it comes under lo sirtzach, then he's really chayv misa. That is considered kim levi derami. If it's only a separate parasha of aches dimchem lenafshotzeichem edrosh, then it doesn't come under the law of kim levi d'ramine. And furthermore, he wants to know, where do you bury this fellow? Because a rotzeach is buried outside of the Beis HaKvaros. So the question is whether or not he's in violation of Ritzicha. Now, you'll ask me, when we talk about Kimlei Ramine, so again, what difference does it make if he's already dead, he's not paying any compensation? But what's the answer to that question? Who's going to pay the compensation if somebody is Chayav and he's not alive to pay it? Correct, his Yarshim. So this becomes a relevant issue insofar as the Nizak wants to sue for compensation to the children, the heirs of the Rotzeach, meaning the one who killed himself, and also damaged them. So the Nizak says, I want you to pay me, and he comes to the Yarshim. According to Minchas Chinuch, they have no claim, because there was no violation of Lo Tirtzach. This is fascinating. Now I want you to go back to page 1. And I want you to take a look at a sefer called Shut Mi Ma'amakim. Now, this sefer, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, was authored by a very unique individual. And he was the Rav of the Kovna Ghetto. You know, the Nazis just took the whole city of Kovna and they completely sealed it off. And they brought Jews from Kovna. Well, the Jews were already there, but they brought Jews from other cities in Lithuania, and they locked them up in the ghetto of Kovno. And in that ghetto, many, many Jews perished. I mean, it was almost impossible to survive. Of course, those Jews who survived the ghetto were gassed in the chambers anyway. You know, so the question is, where would you be? Meet your death. Now, in these situations, we have issues of Yehareg Val Yavar. In other words, sometimes the Nazis would force you to violate certain dimensions of your religion, and the question is, should you be allow yourself to be killed on the spot? But there's even a greater issue, and that is situations where you cannot suffer the torture, and whether or not you are allowed to kill yourself in order to avoid all that torture. And that question is raised here in a sefer called Shut Mi Ma'amakim, which was authored after the Holocaust, when the Rav, I believe his name is Meisels, I'll double check that in just a minute, came out of the Holocaust and survived the Holocaust, and he wrote tshuvas about questions that were asked him in the Holocaust. And if you take a look here, he speaks about a situation where they gathered together 10,000 men, women, and children, lachriyom letevach, and they were going to be sent to their death. Kol echad biyoshvei ha-ghetto tzifa leketz hamar eis shezarua shezroa harosha shel hazedim harurim tunafalim b'achzorius. And they would be tortured to death. And the question was whether or not, in such a case, a person who can't possibly survive, you know, this kind of a torture, and see what's going to happen to his own family, his wife and his children and so forth. And it's very possible that in order to make him suffer, they'll do this terrible thing, you know, terrible slaughter, this murder in front of his eyes. He writes, Shaharei Harotzchim Hagermonim, I can't read the next word, Menachnem hayolis aneg al yisurim. They love just to torture their karbonos before they kill them. And the question is, when the Nazis are about to kill Nebuch, their own children and a wife in front of their eyes, are they permitted? Lizoshe losohi imutalo lekariv eskitzol lishloch yad benafsho. Would a person under those circumstances allowed to take his own life rather than witness that terrible thing? So my friends, what we're doing now is we're really combining the parsha that we will be reading this Shabbos with the Ahavta and Tisha B'Av of this past Sunday, together with this halachic study of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And basically, just to summarize, what we want to know in this very scary kind of tshuva is whether or not a person is allowed to take his own life rather than suffer this kind of torture. But let's even go beyond that and ask ourselves the question whether a person would be allowed to kill himself in order to avoid violating a Torah law if he realizes that the situation is such that they will absolutely force him to violate the Torah and he won't be able to withstand, you know, the torture that they'll torture him. Is he allowed to take his own life? And of course, taking one's own life is a very serious avera. And the question is whether or not it comes under the iser of lo sirtzach. Because as you know, lo sirtzach is one of the big three. And under no circumstances are you allowed to avoid it. Are you allowed to violate it? On the other hand, one could argue that killing oneself is not a violation of lo sirtzach. Now, what I want to point out to you here, I'm just trying to find it on the page here, is... All right, I'm not finding it right now, so we'll come back to this. But let's leave pages 1 and 2 on the side for a moment and fast forward to page 3. Do you see on page 3, if I can get a copy from you, of the Das Kenim Mibali HaTosfos? And this is on the pasuk that we saw at the outset, Achet Esdimchem Lenafshoseichem Edrosh. And he quotes Rashi, who says on the word Nafshoseichem, Azhar l'chonik atzmo. And he quotes a medrash in Breishis Rabba. Yochol afilu kechananya mishol vazaria. Pirush, what does this mean? Yochol afilu kemo elu shemosru atzmom l'kdushas Hashem. Shelo yuchal lachbol bi'atzmo im hu yorei Shelo yuchal biatzmo lamod binisoyon. I might think that a person is not allowed to take their own life, even in a situation where he's afraid that he won't be able to withstand the test and give up his life al kiddush Hashem. And that's on the Yochel. Yochel always introduces a havamim. Talmud Lomar Ach. In this parsha, the word is Ach. Ach is always a mute. And the answer is Ki b'shas hashmad Yochel limsar atzmo lemisa. He can bring about his own death and commit suicide. And the Das Kenim B'Bal HaTosfos quotes not only this medrash as a derivation from the word Ach, but also a story in Tanakh. Which story in Tanakh is very famous? A king of Israel who actually committed suicide? Shaul HaMelech. You remember that case? And he told his na'ar to put the sword down, and he committed suicide. And the reason for that is, says the Das Kenim, she'im yorei adam shemiyasu lo yisurim kashim shel yuchal lisbol v'lamad b'nisayon. Once again, you know, if the Plishtim would have captured Shaul alive, could you imagine what kind of a torture they would have subjected him to? He's allowed yochal largas atzmo. And we're up to the word umikan. So I'm going to ask everyone to put their finger on the word umikan, because this is the bomb, so to speak. You know, what we're about to learn in this word umikan is the most revolutionary part of this whole discussion about Kiddush Hashem and whether a person is allowed to let himself, okay, we've been discussing to kill himself, right? But now, take a look at the word mikan. And I warn you that if you have a soft stomach, this is not something that you want to learn. Mikan mevim raya, from here, this Medrash Rabbah, we bring a proof to support osan sheshochtim hatinok b'shas hagzera, that not only did they kill themselves, but they killed their own children at a moment of gzera, at a moment of shmat.
When was this?
So this happened mostly during the Crusades. In fact, oh, excellent. You're right. Let's lead up to Masada, but first I want to talk to you about Kinnis. One of the kinnis that we recite on Tisha B'Av describes a situation. It's written by Colonimus during the Crusades, and it says, "Pone ha'av bebechi v'yalola atzmo al charbo lidkar ulapila." And the interpretation of these words is that the father, with a terrible anguish, actually kills his own child. And the reason for that is because if the Crusaders take the child, then the child will be raised as a Christian, and there's no chance to expect that the child will do otherwise. But after quoting the first opinion, let's call it the kula. I don't know if you can call it a kula that you're allowed to kill your own children. That's a funny kind of kula. But then he quotes the second opinion, v'yesh osrin, and there are those who say that this is forbidden. Umefarshim came and they reinterpret this statement in the Medrash. Yochol kechananya v'chaverov shekvar nimsaru lemisa talmud lomar ach. The case of Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah is a different case. And we're not talking about a case where they killed themselves, but they were thrown into the lion's den. Avol im eno yochol larogis atzmo, yochol kishol shemosar atzmo lemisa. You might think that, let's say, since he's about to be thrown to his death, maybe he's allowed to take his own life. Tamalomar ach pirish she'eno yochel lachbol bi'atzmo klal. According to this second interpretation, the ach is coming to teach you, no, you might think that you're allowed to cause your own death. The answer is you're not allowed to. You can allow yourself to be killed, but you can't cause death. You cannot actively cause your own death. The shol, what about the case of shol? Shelo b'shus chachamim asa. It was not according to the halacha. He would not have been permitted to do this. Now he quotes the Marash Bar Avraham, Hamachuna Uchman. Apparently he maintained that second opinion, that you're not allowed to bring about your own death, and certainly not the death of someone else. Umaisa Barav Echad, And he tells a story about a particular rabbi. And we're going to see more details about the story in a minute. And Shachat Harbei Tinokos B'Shas Hashmat. When the goyim were just coming to Shmadzach, meaning to make us into Christians, then this rabbi took it upon himself to slaughter children. Because he assumed that these children would be raised as Christians, so there were no chance in a million of remaining loyal Jews. But Hayarav Acher Imo, there was another rabbi with him, Vayakois Olav Bioser. That's probably an understatement. The Kara Rotzeach. The Hulo Hayachoshesh, but the first rabbi didn't pay attention. He wasn't impressed. The Omar Oso Rav, and the one who was trying to stop him, declared, Im Kidvore, if I am right and you are wrong, Yarag Oso Yeareg Oso Rav B'Misa Mishuna. He cursed him and he said, you will die a terrible death. V'chein Hoya. And that's exactly what happened. Tafsua Akum, and they tortured him to death. The Acher Kach, and after he was tortured to death, Nisbatla Hagzera. And therefore, Imlo Shachad Osan Atinokos Hoya Nitzolim, had he not slaughtered those children, then in fact the Gzera would have been Batel. The reason why the Gzera wasn't Batel is because of this rabbi who took it upon himself to kill all these children. It's a really wild story here. But what impression do you get if I were to ask you halach l'maisa, which position, after the Das Kanim presents both views in this current controversy, which position would you say he accepts, he adopts? The first one, again, I'm going to call them Mekilim, I'm not sure if that's an accurate term, but just for our purposes of communication. Or the second opinion of the Machnirim, who say you're not allowed to. Yeah. The Machnirim. Because he tells this whole story seemingly to prove the second opinion. But then you're going to have to assume that Shaul was Shalom B'Shus Chachamim, and that the entire Havamita with the Maskana, the Ach of the Medrash Rabbah, is to teach you that you're not allowed to do such a thing, you can't cause your own death. Now, just to embellish this story that's told here by the Das Kanim, take a look at the Ritva, which is on the bottom of your page 4, bottom right. The Ritva says the following: Hachi Isa b'Medrash, Ksiv Aches Dimchem l'Nafshosechem Edrosh, Mikan Azhara li'Odom Shelo Yachbol di'Atzma. A person is not allowed to take his own life. Yochal, I might think, Afilu Kishol Melch Yisrael. He killed himself. They will force him to violate his Torah under torture. That if a person kills himself to avoid violating the Torah, he's allowed to do so. Umikan, and from this, lomdim lishchot hanarim b'gzeros b'bnei avaras hadas. The alkein matzasi b'gyonei atosvis v'im dvarim shetzrichim talmud v'im gadol el shufkar horas zaken v'shamanu b'shem gdolei tzarfas shehitiru kein aloch lemaisa. You get the impression from the Ritva, despite what he found in the Bali Atosvis, that he came to the opposite conclusion, that the Medrash is telling us that Shaul HaMelech is the paradigm of Ach Miet, that B'chai Gav Nishar, you're allowed to do that, and this Medrash is in fact the source for the Shechit of Ne'arim. And forget about what it says in Tosvis, because what it says in Tosvis with that story there is Dvarim HaTzrichim Talmid and Gadol. And then he says, "Shamanu b'shem gedolei tzarfas sheitiru kein aloch lemaisa." And probably this was the first of the Crusades. In any event, I have a source here that identifies the name of the rabbi who actually was in the story. And this is told by the Paitanim who authored the Kinos of Tisha B'Av, Rabbeinu Yontif Miyuni. Now, I don't know, Yuni to me is the name of a month, but apparently it's also the name of a place. Migdolei Bali Atosvus. We're talking about a Rishon. Ubizman Ashmad, Kulam Shachtu Atzman Ve'ishas Chavero. The Rabbeinu Yontif Atzmo, again, we're talking about a Rishon, Shachat Shishim Anoshim. The Achakach Shachat is Atzmo Al Kiddush Hashem. So this story that the Ritva quotes in the name of the Chachmei Tzarfas that they were making seems to be this story of Rabbeinu Yontif Miyuni. And it's pretty shocking. And again, as we said before, this would seem to be based on Shaul HaMelech plus that particular interpretation of the Medrash, that if a person cannot be sovel, he can't possibly tolerate the torture, and to be omid b'nisayon, he's allowed to kill himself. And not only is he allowed to kill himself, but he's allowed to kill others. That's pretty wild.
The others part, I don't really see a court for it. It seems like it's something that we kind of learned out. It's kind of a stretch, no?
Which opinion are you, just so I'm on the same page as you?
Shaul killed himself. The story in the Medrash, you know, at the start was, you know, killing yourself.
Right.
You know,
you're saying all the evidence is in favor of the Mekilin. Is that what you're saying? No, how do we?
I'm saying that.
Well, what are you saying?
Extend to killing others?
Yeah, how does it extend to killing others?
It seems to be that it's kind of like assisted suicide. It's like it's a shmad, so you think you'd rather not die because of the shmad, and maybe you'd rather die because of not to be tortured. So you're helping them.
Again, the premise is like this: if life has to be forfeited, even actively, in order to avoid violating, you know, the shmad, then what difference does it make? Well, I kill myself, I kill somebody else. It's the same violation.
Because at least with killing yourself, we had this out of, you know, you're not called a Rotzeach.
Ah,
you're something else.
Okay, excellent.
So all
excellent.
Of a sudden we've like, shoot, combined them together, but...
Okay, you are correct. That is correct. I wasn't ready for that yet. That was going to be my punchline, but good. Very good. So let's take a look at the Radak in his commentary on Shaul, on the story of Shmuel in Shaul. He says, you have it on the bottom right of page 3, V'lo chata Shaul behargo es atzmo, v'af al pi shekosav achas dimchem nashasechem edrosh, klomer miyedchem edrosh oso intargu atzmechem. So it means that a person cannot kill himself. He says, "Afal pichein lo chata." This case of Shaul is not a sin. Lefisha yodei Shaul ki sofan sofo haya lamus b'milchama. He was going to die anyway because they were after him, right? They were coming and approaching him with all the arrows and everything else. Ki chein amar lo Shmuel, and not only that, Shmuel had also prophesied that he would die. The od ki ra ki matzu hamorim anoshim bekeshes v'lo yachol limolet miyadehem is tov haye. He made the calculation. It's better for him sheyarog hu es atzmo v'lo yisal lubo harelim v'chein amru razal aches dimchen ashesechem edrus yachol kishol Talmud lomar. Ach. Now, it seems to me, and tell me if you agree with me, that Shaul knew he was going to die, and the Radak says that if a person knew that he was going to die, and there was no sale shall safek, as we'd say, and not only that, but there's going to be a terrible Chil Hashem here if they catch the king of Israel, that seems to be the case of Shaul. And what I'm trying to push for, this is my agenda for tonight, is that I can have my cake and eat it. I can be machmir and accept the second view which the Balei HaTosfos present, and they seem to accept that. And at the same time, justify Shaul Amel. There's no steer between the two. And I can justify Shaul under one of two categories or logical reasoning. Either because Shaul knew for sure he was going to die, or because Shaul was a special case because Kvod Shavayim was dependent upon the Melech. But that doesn't mean that every rank and file person can decide, well, I'm not going to be able to withstand the torture, and I'm definitely going to give in or whatever. I mean, those rules cannot be derived from Shaul HaMelech, because Shaul HaMelech is a case where he's going to die anyway. Once a person's going to die anyway, taking his own life is not the same. And therefore, when a person doesn't know that he's going to die, he's just being given that choice situation, there's no heter to actively kill yourself. That's what I think the Radak is driving at here. Okay, let's see what we can do with the Shulchan Aruch, which is in the middle of page 3. And this is Yoredeya Simon Kuf Nun Zayin. And the Mechaber writes, U'bishas Hashmad afilu al minog bi'alma shenogu. You have to give up your life for Shas Hashmad, even for a minog, he says. Now what we want to do is, we want to take a look at the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says that the b'shvich ahad the b'shvichas domim yeharik val yaver dafke shomrim lo larg biyadaim aval omro hanat fine, and then he writes the kasev biyarchas chayim medrash rabba doresh viach es nafshosei es dimchem nafshoseichem as hor lechonik es yochal afil kichananya mishol vazari tamid lomar ach pirush b'shas hashmad yochal limsar atzmo lemisa. Okay, he seems to be quoting the Balei HaTosfos verbatim. Velaroges atzmo imhu yare shelo yuchal lamod b'nisoyim. V'chein yochal afilu kishol ben kish shem yare sheva yasu lo yisurim koshim sheyuchal limsar atzmo l'misa tamlomer ach. He says, "Umikan mevim raya hashochtim atinokos b'shasat shmat," and this was the basis, the proof to support the opinion of those who said that you're allowed to kill during a shasat shmat. However, yesh osrim umefarshim hach tamid lomer ach she'eno yochel larog atzmo. V'chananya mishol v'azaria masru atzom biyad acherim. And the whole story here, etc., etc. And then he quotes Rabbi Yerucham, who says, "Kosva aposkim im rotza lahachmir al atzma lihorig betzina." Al shar mitzvah rashoy, v'eino nikra chovel bi'atzmo. But basically, the impression you get here from the Beis Yosef is that he's quoting the Balei HaTosfos verbatim, and therefore he adopts the chumras ha-machmirim, the second opinion, la-halacha. Now, if you take a look in the Hagos Veharos on the bottom, he writes, "Berekabais b'shem Aruchas Chaim deshol ben kishalo b'rtzon kachomim avad eno nicholi." He doesn't like the approach that Shaul was violating the law. Deshol b'chir Hashem, he was the choice. Shalom la Kadosh Baruch Hu idei Shmuel mochar ato bincha imi hayu b'mechitzasi. That basically Shmuel told him in the prophecy that Shaul would be in the Mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then you're going to tell me Yifka bi'atzmo shelo kedin, he had no right to do what he did. L'chein nira demishol lekaraya shekvar hoy yodea shelo yichya ot. Exactly what we saw in the Radak. Sha'omalo Shmuel mocher ata ubin cha'imi. Mutav she'yarag atzmo v'lo yis'alu bo plishtim. If he's going to die anyway. Aval misha safek im lo yehar. If he doesn't kill himself, there's a safek as to whether he'll die. Ulai yinotel. Maybe somehow at the end of the day he'll survive it. Is ein lifgo bi'atzmo. But basically, what we see here in all these sources, whether it's Das Kenim, whether it's the Beis Yosef, whether it's these Hagos V'Oros, and basically the whole logic of the Radak, is L'chumra, to say that you're not allowed to do this. And now we come to Max's question. If you take a look at page 4, the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah that... No, I think it's the Gemara in Gittin. Just one second. All right, let's start with the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And then, Emirat Hashem, we'll get... Oh, here's the Gemara in Gittin. Okay, it's on page 5. You don't have that. But the Gemara in Gittin says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Maisa B'dalid Meos Yeladim V'Yelados. This is in the famous Agadata and Perek HaNizkin of the terrible things that happened at the time of the Churban, when the Romans, you know, rose up to persecute the Jews. There were 400 children, boys and girls, shenishbu, and they were taken captivity, lekalon. You know, the purpose of the intention of the Romans was to use them for sexual immorality. Let's say the girls as I don't know what word you want to use, like prostitutes, and the boys for homosexuality. Hirgishu bi'atzman l'mahem isbakshim. And these children knew, already intuited, what they were being taken for. Amru, and they declared, imanu tovim biyam, if we jump, they were on a ship apparently, they're being captured. If we jump into the water, ha'imanu boim l'chai olam abba, We'll be able to live in the next, be accepted to enter into the next world. And the Gemara tells us, Darash lahem ha-gadol shebahem. Now that sounds like it means the oldest of these children. How old was he? I don't know. He could have been that old. And he darshan. The pasuk says, Amar lahem ibashan ashiv. Mivitzulos yam. What does this mean? Mi boshan oshiv mi bein shine arayos oshiv mi mitzulos yam elu atovim biyam. That basically Hashem was promising that those who would sink to the bottom of the ocean would be brought up by Hashem and allowed to enter into Gan Eden. And this pasuk is in Tehillim in the same context as Churban. Keva sheshamu yilados, when the children heard this drasha, kaftu kulon v'naflu l'toch hayam. And it's unbelievable because the Gemara tells us that as they were jumping into the sea and meeting their watery death, they were singing a Shira Takarish Baruch based on the Pasuk, Ki Olecha Haragnu Kol Hayom Nechshavnu Kitzon Tivcha. But in any event, as Max points out very well, this Gemara would seem to support the possibility of allowing suicide rather than becoming a victim of this kind of violation of Torah law, in this case like a Gilui Arayos kind of situation. Again, you have to know exactly what the gedder here of Gilui Arayos is and how this can be reconciled with the sugya of Esther, you know, about Karka Olam and so forth and so on. However, Tosus has a different take on this sugya. He says, "Kafzu kulam v'nachlu toch hayam." He says, "Hacha, the case here, which seems to be in violation of the principle of suicide that prohibits suicide, hacha yireim hayu miyisurim." They were afraid of torture. So I'm not sure what he means here, but maybe he means that as a result of the torture, they would be violated. I don't know. But the other option is, I don't know. It's a little bit confusing to me because this Sugin Gittin, and the way Tos interprets it, seems to lead us to the opposite conclusion, that suicide is justified in a case where you're afraid that they're going to force you to violate the Torah law. So let's go back to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and then we'll see if we can make some sense out of this whole thing. Okay. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Yud Zayin Yud Ches is an agadah about the Asara Haruge Malchus and the terrible stories about how the Romans tortured these great Torah giants. And you may recall the case of Rav Chananya ben Tradion, which you'll see on the second wide lines. He was condemned by the Romans simply because he gathered together masses of Jews and taught them Torah publicly, which was against the Gzeiras Hashmat, and he had a Sefer Torah in his bosom. The Romans caught him, they surrounded him with the Sefer Torah, and they put wood under him and they lit it. And then what the cruel Romans did was they brought Sfogim Shel Tzemer. You remember this story? Yeah, they soaked up these sponges, of woolen sponges in water, v'nichem al libo, kidei shlo teitzei nishmasu mehera, to prolong his agony. And his daughter was actually there, and she turns to her father and she asks him if it's okay that they remove these moros. I'm sorry, this tzemer, in order to hasten his death and cut down his suffering. Or they offered him another opportunity. He says, open your mouth and let the fire go in. Amar lahem, and he refused. And this is what he said, Rav Chananya. He said, mutav sheyitlena, let my neshama be taken by Misha Nosna, by he, with a capital H, who gave me the neshama, the al yachbal hu biatzmo. And I would rather do that than bring about or hasten my own death. The Gemara has there's another part to this Agadah which is very interesting. They asked him what he sees as he's dying, and he sees that Sefer Torah Nisraf, that although the parchment of the Sefer Torah is being burnt, but Osios Parchos Biavir, the letters of the Sefer Torah flying up to Shamayim. You remember that? That's been a very common popular theme for Judaic art. This concept of Osios Parchos Biavir. And probably this Gemara should be taken figuratively rather than literally. I think he means Osios Parchos Biavir means that although the Romans, are destroying Torah here, but Torah will be reestablished elsewhere. That's what I think. But anyway, that's the non-halachic dimension of this Agadita. The halachic dimension is that this would seem to prove that under no circumstances are you allowed to hasten your own death. And with a Kal Vachomer, how much more so you're not allowed to kill yourself. And with a Kal Vachomer, how much more so you're not allowed to kill others. I, the Gemara in Gittin, where the 400 children jumped into the water, which seems to be support the opposite view, that they took their lives and that was okay. So how do we reconcile this? Yeah. What do you say? Yeah, please.
In the Gemara, how do we know that this is the Nahalaka in this story, not just a hero story of someone who went beyond what he used to be?
Well, I have two answers to your question. One answer is that this is Rav Hananya ben Tradyon, and it sounds like he's, you know, we learn halachas from the way the Gedolim behave. You know, the second answer to your question might be that the fact that it was codified in the sugya itself, that would seem to to indicate that this is something we want to learn from. So that's the story. Remember, I mentioned to you before that the name of the rabbi who shechted 60 people at the time of Shmad was Rabbeinu Yom Tov Miyoni. So if you take a look on the bottom of your page 4 on the left hand column, because the Ritva didn't mention his name, so if you take a look in what's called the Machzor HaMeforosh, which I think is quite popular, I don't see one now on the table, but many of the people who were here in this room a few days ago were using the Machzor HaMeforosh. It has a Hebrew translation. So there's an introduction to that Machzor, which is called Toldos HaPaitonim. And he gives a lot of the historical background. And he speaks about Rabbeinu Yontif Miyoni, who is Migdolei Bali HaTosfos. And he's mentioned in a number of places in Tosfos. He was the great Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. He was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. And at the end of his life, he uprooted himself from France and he lived in England. And there he was killed during the Crusades. And there's a letter from Rabbi Ephraim Mibuna, who was also one of the Paitonim at the time of the Rishonim, and he tells the whole story of this Rabbeinu Yontif Miyoni. And it says, Rabbeinu Yontif Atzmo Shochat Shishim Anoshim V'Akach Shochat Atzmo Al Kiddush Hashem. That's what we said before. So apparently this is documented in the works and the writings of Rabbeinu Ephraim Mibuna, who lived at the time of the Rishonim, and he was a poet who wrote liturgical poems. He wrote kinnas. He also has a kinnah here published, number Chavtes, where he mentions the story that took place also Abonos, Kinnusos, Viarusos, Le'ivchas, Cherev, Le'kadim, Dotos, V'sochos, Domal, Tziach, Sela, Vilti, Kosos. And it says, Pone of Bibechi Violola Atzmal Charbo Linkala Pilo. I mean, again, this is a very gruesome description of a father who is responsible for the active killing of his own children because they were going to be taken for Shmat. So Rabosai, what I'm suggesting to you here is that we're in a very complex dilemma. On the one hand, we saw in so many poskim that it's also to do such a thing. We also got that impression from the story of Rav Hananya ben Tradyon. We also justified Shol HaMelech under very special, unique categories, as we saw in the Radak and in the Hagos on the Shulchan Aruch. And yet, on the other hand, we are meeting face to face with stories where they go back to the time of the Romans and the Churban Bayis Sheni, whether we go back to the Crusades, or whether we talk about the Shoah itself. I mean, even during the Holocaust, we know that there were children who committed suicide in order to avoid Shmat. So even if we derive from the Gemara Gittin that there was some sort of a heter, but that's only because the 400 children jumped into the water and they were willing to kill themselves, we cannot prove from that therefore that there's a heter, like the first opinion in the Das Kenim Valatos, to kill others. And the story here of Rabbi Yontif Miyuni, that goes a major step beyond what we see in the Gemara. And in fact, in the case of Rabbi Hananya ben Trajon, he did not do anything to cause or hasten his own death. Now, there's a book that was written 1930 years ago called Milchamot HaYehudim, The Wars of the Jews. It was written by Yosef ben Matisyo. And there he tells a story during the Churban of Bayis Sheni that Jews revolted against the Romans and they locked themselves up in a place called Matsada. And when they saw that they had no choice, they had no chance, I should say, and in a short period of hour, they would be captured by the Romans. What they did was, under the leadership of a certain individual by the name of Elazar ben Yair, we don't know anything about him other than this one story that's told by Yosef ben Matisyo in this his work of history. He encouraged everyone to not only commit suicide, but to commit murder and kill their wives and children actively in order so that they don't fall into the hands of the enemy of the Romans. And in this recording of this event, he, Yosef, says the following, that this Eliezer, we don't know who he was, told the people, Kacha tziva aleinu chukei Torasenu. This is what our Torah demands of us. And in fact, they slaughtered each other in Matsada. Each person slaughtered the members of his own family and then killed himself. And when there was one last Jew left, he burnt himself and everyone else. When the Romans got up to Matsada, they found nothing but burnt corpses. And we don't find anywhere in Chazal that this story is brought down. We know a similar story in the 400 children who jumped into the ocean. But why did Chazal omit the story of the Anshei Matsada? And maybe the reason is because this was not halachically acceptable that each one should slaughter the others. Right? In the light of the second Shita of the Machmirim, it's one thing to take your own life, but to slaughter others, that you can't do. You'll ask the Kasha, how can we justify suicide, which is also Ritzicha? And the answer is, as Aaron pointed out very well about 20 minutes ago, that the Minchas Chinuch says that taking your own life is not Ritzicha. It comes under this separate law of Aches Dimchem Minaf Shaseichem Edrash. But that could be overridden, as the pasuk said, by various shikulim, factors. Like, for example, the fact that they're going to kill you anyway, and you're going to suffer, and you're going to be tortured, and you won't be able to withstand the torture, and you'll eventually violate the Torah, and you'll be mechal shem shemayim. But to go a step further and kill someone else—that's already a violation of the law of lo sirtach. That we don't know is okay. Now let me just, before I let you go, I'll just quickly summarize some of the poskim. There's a tshuva called the Shvus Yaakov, who wants to know if a Baal tshuva is allowed to commit suicide to bring kapara for all the terrible things that he did before he was chozer b'tshuva. And he says that there's no question, it's absolutely forbidden. And it comes under the prohibition of Ma'abed Atzmo Ladas. He becomes a suicide case. And then we have another tshuva that I wanted to mention to you, in which the story about the Chach Beit Tzarfas, who allowed the killing, the slaughtering of children in order they shouldn't fall to Shmad. And then Lechora, the question is, how can we be Matir Tzicha to actually murder someone? So there's a tshuva from the Oznaim La Mishpat, that's Reb Zalman Sirotskin, who was one of the Gedolim back in Europe, and then I think he came to America in his life. And he says, Yesh Hevdel Gadol Bein HaChovel V'Atzmo L'Bein Rotzeach. We should be differentiating between suicide on the one hand and murder on the other hand. There's no head for killing someone else. And therefore the story in France is, you know, during the Crusades, a very difficult story. He doesn't know how to justify that. There's a tshuva also from the Minchas Asher, Rav Asher Zelig Weiss, if you've heard of him. He's quite popular. He's a contemporary, a big gadol. And he says that Chas v'sholom lahatir harigas tinokos u'na'orim acherim al yado. In other words, harigas atzmo, which comes under the Isur of Ach Dimchem, might be alleviated, might be removed under certain conditions, but there's no condition where you're allowed to violate the Isur Tzicha. There's no heter whatsoever. But again, on the other hand, we have this story of the Chachmei Tzarfas and Rav Yontif Miyuni, which is again codified in the Sefer HaKinis, and the story is about the Crusades. We have the Ritva who seems to accept that story. Shomano b'shem gedolei tzarfa sheitiru kein halacha l'maisa. So the question is, what do we do with this? You know, it's a very difficult predicament that we find ourselves in. You know, as a halachist, what are we meant to be thinking here? When the bulk, you know, of all the evidence in halacha and the logic seems to be that there's no heter for this, and yet historically this is the way it was done, you know, and we don't want to undermine, you know, those who seem to be Rishonim who did this. And it's the first opinion in the Balei Tos. But again, the first opinion of Balei Tos, keep in mind, is talking about suicide, not talking about murder. Aaron, what do you want to say?
I'm a little surprised that none of the sources that were quoted or brought were quoting like Moshe's parents, who decided, because all the children were being killed, to not even have children. It's like, it's almost the same idea of like seeing the current situation as like inescapable, and then choosing to prevent life.
Correct. I mean, as severe as it is, you know, to abstain from procreation, but nevertheless, it's not an act of murder. And beyond that, you keep in mind, Aaron, that I'm not sure that at the end of the day, we know what Amram did was really the right thing. You remember that Miriam prevailed upon him, and he backed off. And then the question becomes, can we learn anything from his Hava Mina, so to speak?
Or from what Miriam did in the end, where it showed them that even though your situation looks hopeless, it still doesn't mean you can, you know, make, you know, life decisions.
Right. Now, I want to correct myself in something that I said at the beginning of the shiur. You may recall that the first source we looked at on page 1 was the Shutmi Ma'amakim. And I may have told you that his name was Rav Meisels. Rav Meisels actually authored a different book, if I'm not mistaken, called Ani Mamin. He was also one of those rabbis that had to answer questions. But this sefer called Shutmi Ma'amakim is authored by Rav Ephraim Oshri. He was the Rav of the ghetto in Kovna during the time of the Shoah. And if I'm not mistaken, he lived out his life when he survived the Holocaust in Manhattan, in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. That's how I remember it. Again, we saw the back and forth of the Tosfos, the question about Shaul HaMelech. We saw that the Beis Yosef seems to be passing like the second opinion, L'chumra. and there's no justification to slaughter tinokos, even though you are afraid that they may be taken away to another religion. We saw the Ritva and the case of Rav Chananya ben Trajan. We saw the Tosfos quoting the Gemara in Gittin. All these sources that we saw, and that's about it. There's one other point that I wanted to make here in Yoredeya Simon Shin Mem Hey. That's the laws of Avelus. The Mechaber Paskins Godol Hamaavid Atzmo Ladas. Vehu Onus Kishol Amelech. The Ein Monim Imenu Kol Dover. The Shulchan Aruch actually quotes the case of Shaul HaMelech as a paradigm of the halachic heter for suicide. And the Shach adds, Shaul HaMelech Shaharag Atzmo Lefi Sharosh HaPlishtim Yasu Bo Kiritzonu V'Yarguhu. And the Tshuvos want to say that Shaul HaMelech, his suicide is something that's absolutely mutter. But the question is, again, whether or not we can derive any conclusions from Shaul HaMelech. Maybe that's a very exceptional, unusual case. He was going to die anyway, and he was the Melech Yisrael. But even if we derive conclusions from Shaul HaMelech, and we might allow suicide, that doesn't mean that we could take the next step and permit murder, you know, to kill someone else. So Yehi Ratzon, we should be Zoche to see the day in which all these kinds of shmads are ended, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we the pasuk says at the end of Dvarim, Harnini goyim amo ki dama v'dov yikom v'nokom yoshev l'tzor v'chiper admaso imo shmizocha to an absolute kapara and a gula shlema for all the misa of all these tzaddikim who gave their lives al kiddush Hashem. Ken yiratzon, amen. Thank you again, Rabosai, for coming. I know that for myself, if I hadn't come, I would be doing a lot of other things. Probably not as great as what we did. And that seems to be the conclusion.
Very interesting.
Okay, then.
It's too bad Kishon fell out on Sunday. Otherwise, this would have been a great glide.
Right, this could have been the glide shear, so I couldn't. Right, it could have been a. This Sunday should be a regular day at glide.
Yeah.
Okay. The only thing is, I'm going away next week, but I'm probably leaving Sunday evening. So hopefully, I'll be able to join you.